Macbeth. When a person is asked to tell the story of Macbeth, he can tell two stories. One is of a man called Macbeth, who came to the throne of Scotland by a crime in the year of our Lord 1039, and reigned justly and well on the whole for 15 years or more. This story is part of Scottish history. The other story issues from a place called Imagination. It is gloomy and wonderful, and you shall hear it. A year or two before Edward the Confessor began to rule England, a battle was won in Scotland against a Norwegian king by two generals named Macbeth and Banquo. After the battle, the generals walked together towards forests in Elginshire, where Duncan, King of Scotland, was awaiting them. While they were crossing a lonely heath, they saw three bearded women, sisters, hand in hand, withered in appearance and wild in their attire. "Speak! Who are you?" demanded Macbeth.
"Hail, Macbeth, chieftain of Glamis," said the first woman. "Hail, Macbeth, chieftain of Cawdor," said the second woman. "Hail, Macbeth, king that is to be," said the third woman.
Then Banquo asked,
"What of me?"
And the third woman replied, "Thou shalt be the father of kings."
"Tell me more," said Macbeth.
"By my father's death I am chieftain of Glamis, but the chieftain of Cawdor lives, and the king lives, and his children live. Speak, I charge you!" The women replied only by vanishing, as though suddenly mixed with the air. Banquo and Macbeth knew then they had been addressed by witches, and were discussing their prophecies when two nobles approached. One of them thanked Macbeth in the king's name for his military services, and the other said, "He bade me call you chieftain of Cawdor." Macbeth then learned that the man who had yesterday borne that title was to die for treason, and he could not help thinking, "The third witch called me king that is to be." "Banquo," he said, you see that the witches spoke truth concerning me. Do you not believe, therefore, that your child and grandchildren will be kings?" Banquo frowned. Duncan had two sons, Malcolm and Donald Bane, and he deemed it disloyal to hope that his son, Fleance, should rule Scotland. He told Macbeth that the witches might have intended to tempt them both into villainy by their prophecies concerning the throne. Macbeth, however, thought the prophecy that he should be king too pleasant to keep to himself, and he mentioned it to his wife in a letter. Lady Macbeth was fanatically ambitious for her husband, and this news only confirmed what she secretly longed for, that her husband would one day be king. When a messenger arrived to inform her that Duncan would pass a night in Macbeth's castle, she nerved herself for a very dreadful deed. She told Macbeth, almost as soon as she saw him, that Duncan must spend a sunless morrow. She meant that Duncan must die, and that the dead are blind. "We will speak further," said Macbeth uneasily, and at night, with his memory full of Duncan's kind words, he would fain have spared his guest. "Would you live a coward?" demanded Lady Macbeth, who seems to have thought that morality and cowardice were the same. "I dare do all that may become a man," replied Macbeth. "Who dare do more is none." "Why did you write that letter to me?" she inquired fiercely. And with bitter words she egged him on to murder, and with cunning words she told him how to do it. After supper, Duncan went to bed, and two grooms were placed on guard at his bedroom door. Lady Macbeth caused them to drink wine till they were stupefied. She then took their daggers, and would have killed the king herself if his sleeping face had not looked like her father's.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?